Polpa. Amen.
Amen. Let's see. Great to see a full house here this morning. It's great to be here. We're more than Clondalkin, myself and Adela, more than Clondalkin than we are here, but we're all one church. And the word that God gives us is for our church, and it's to be released in our church. Church is church. One church, many locations, yeah? So what struck me there during worship was, and Sharon and Paul Martin touched on it, was that Paul Martin used the word collectively. Sharon was talking about she wants what God has, but does everybody want it? And it was brought to the scripture, just as I was sitting there, in Acts 2:1. And it said this, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Isn't that amazing? And the Bible also talked about that when brothers and sisters dwell in unity, the Lord commands a blessing. So if we're in all one accord here this morning that Jesus is God and Jesus reigns, and we preach the full gospel here in Liberty Church, we take hold of what the cross has done, and I'm talking about everything that the cross has done. I'm not talking about just salvation and forgiveness of sins. I'm talking about healing. I'm talking about absolutely everything. So much comes out of the cross that I think sometimes unaware to us that we take it for granted. That there's so much in the finished work of the cross that it's just absolutely amazing. And we're going to talk about some of that this morning, and it's there for the taking. And you know what the great thing is? That if you're born again by the Spirit of God, that it's your inheritance. It's yours. It's there for the taking. It's there for the taking. And if you're not born again, and you've heard about this Jesus, well, this morning you'd be given a chance to accept him into your heart, to make him Lord of your life. And if you do that, I tell you what, it was the best thing I ever done in my life. Talk about winning the lottery. Forget about the lottery. Just give me Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Amen. So we're going to talk. The series that we're doing is called What's the Story? And you know, Noel comes up with all these great sermon names. And this one he came up with, What's the Story? And this morning I'm going to preach a bit on what's the story with healing. And there's loads of questions around healing and all that sort of stuff. That's why I said that there's so much in the cross that Jesus accomplished for us, that it's our inheritance and it's ours for the taking. And it's all by grace. It's free. We don't have to do anything for it. Jesus done it all. But it's up to us to receive it. If I was to give you a gift now, what would you do with it? You'd take it off. You'd open it up. You'd receive it. So this morning, are we all of one accord here this morning? Because if we're on all of one accord here this morning, I believe that God, not that he's not here, he is here, but he'll come with power. And he's going to come into that place in your life where you've been wanting him to come. But there's something happens in the Spirit when we all are of one accord in one place like the day of Pentecost. Amen? Do we agree on that?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So, as I say, I'm going to preach about what's the story with healing. Then we're going to break bread and we're going to remember what Jesus done for us. And then, just like what it says in the Bible, as I said, we preach the full gospel here. We believe that the laying on of hands, anointing with oil, and releasing healing to the body. Amen? Amen. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So, before I start, I wanted to start with something humorous. I was listening to a preacher and he told this joke and it was funny. I found it funny, but I hope you find it funny. It'll probably go down like a lead balloon. But anyway, yeah, still laugh, it'll make me feel. Yeah. Yeah. So this woman, she used to come out every morning out her front door into her garden. She used to praise the Lord. She'd thank him for everything that given her the day before. And, you know, she just gave him worship like what we were giving him. She just gave it all to him. She was so grateful for her life and everything. There was a fella across the road and he kept shouting across the road, "There's no God. What God are you on about? No God does all that stuff. No God can do this. No God can give you that." So she, every morning, she still came out and she praised, no matter what her opposition was. But this morning, your man, before she came out, she used to come out every morning at the same time and praise God in the front garden for what he'd done the day previous. So this morning, before she came out, your man got up early. He had this little plan. Your man across the road got up early. And he got this big hamper of all lovely stuff. And he snuck across into our garden, put it on our porch. And she came out and she seen the hamper. She picked it up. And she thanked the Lord for it. And she was praising God like she normally does. Into her house she went. And I could imagine there was all lovely chocolate and everything else in it that your mom was putting in it. Next morning she comes out. She's thanking the Lord for what he'd gave her the day before. And she mentioned the hamper filled. And he's shouting across, "I told you God doesn't provide for you." And she's like, "Thank you, Lord, for a hamper and everything else." He says, "I put that hamper there." And she said, "Thank you, Lord, for that hamper, and you even made the devil pay for it." Amen. I found it totally. So, there you are. There you are. All right. So that got everybody laughing. Right, so great. So, that's it. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to speak about healing. I'm going to share some of my own testimonies around healing. And, you know, this is for everybody. And sometimes God heals instantly, and sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it's a walking out, and sometimes you've got to just walk with him, and in the walking with him is where you get healed and where you get set free. Amen. And there's reasons as to why. I really believe there's reasons as to why that he heals some people instantly of certain things, and then other things he asks us to walk with him. Because he builds character with you. He shows you his faithfulness. He shows you that he's a loving God and he's always there for you. So there's always a reason why God does stuff, because his ways are his ways. They're not our ways, as the Bible says. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So let's dive in anyway. So what's the story with healing? There's loads of questions around healing. I'm going to tell you some of the testimonies of healing in a bit. But first, I want to lay a biblical foundation on healing, because this is not my word. This is God's word. What I'm going to speak about here today is in the Bible. And whatever is in the Bible, I believe it. If it told me in the Bible to stand on my head down there and preach, I'd do it. So that's what I believe, the Bible. I believe the whole Bible and everything that's in it. People have questions like, is healing for today? Can I be healed? Does God want to heal me? Why am I not being healed? When I get healed, is there a part I have to play? How do I steward my healing or sustain my blessing? So I'm going to talk about a couple of characters in the Bible that were healed. And if you have your Bibles with me, you turn to Acts 29. No, Acts 29. I'm just trying to keep you on your toes. Only Acts 28. Now, if you can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. And guys, this is not a condemnation thing or anything like that, but if you don't read God's word, read his word. His word is alive and active. When you pick up his word, if you're struggling with anything or you're down or you just need a word of encouragement, open up God's word, ask the Holy Spirit to show you. And it's just like the word of God stands up out of the Bible and it speaks straight into your situation in your life, where you're at that right time. And it's just like, it's unbelievable. It gives you such strength. When God speaks a word into your spirit, it just strengthens you for the day, and it gives you that oomph that makes you want to get up and go. Amen? Amen. God's word is amazing. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. On his return, Jesus was welcomed by a crowd. They were all expecting him. A man came up, Jairus by name. He was president of the meeting place. He fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house because his 12-year-old daughter, his only child, was dying. Jesus went with him, making his way through the pushing, jostling crowd. In the crowd that day, there was a woman who for 12 years had been afflicted with hemorrhages and bleeding. She had spent every penny she had on doctors, but not one had been able to help her. She slipped in from behind the crowd and touched the edge of Jesus' robe. At that very moment, her hemorrhaging stopped. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When no one stepped forward, Peter said, "But Master, we have crowds of people on our hands. Dozens have touched you." Jesus insisted, "Someone touched me, and I felt power discharging from me." When the woman realized that she couldn't remain hidden, she knelt before him. In front of all the people, she blurted out her story. That's what I'm going to do in a minute, blurt out my story. Why she touched him and how at the same moment she was healed. Jesus said, "Daughter, you took a risk trusting me, and now you're healed and whole. Live well and live blessed." Isn't that an amazing scripture? And that's from the Message version. But I noticed some things in that scripture that, see where it says she blurted out her story. Jesus wants to hear your story. Jesus wants to hear your problems and your hurts and your pains. That's why he went to the cross, to set you free from all that. To set you free, make you whole. Then I also love what Jesus said to her. He said, "Daughter, you took a risk trusting me." You know, last week the Lord gave me a word for the church. It was the week before when I was preaching. And I believe Liberty is one church, many locations. So I'm going to release the word here today. And if it sits with you, grab hold of it and respond to it. You'll be given a chance to respond to it. And just before I started to preach last week, the Lord said to me, "There's some people here, and if you would ask them to let the guard down on their heart, that I want to come into that place in their heart. I want to mend it." And you know, Adele was talking to me last week about the potter of clay and the potter's wheel. And you know, we're the clay. The Lord is the potter. But he's a good father. And Adele said to me, "You know, a potter has to have gentle hands. The Father is so gentle that when you let your guard down, he just ushers in and he just touches you with his presence. And he says, 'This is the place I want to be. This is where I want to get to. Let me in. Let your guard down.'" So if that's for you this morning, if that's speaking to you this morning, if you need to let your guard down and let the Father in, trust him, because he's a good, good God. He's a loving Father. He's a potter with soft hands, gentle hands. He wants to mold you. And a potter fixes broken vessels, and that's what we are. We're a broken vessel. Being mended. Amen. Amen. You see, the woman in the scriptures, you see, this woman had gone everywhere and spent all her money trying to be healed. And after hearing of the miracles Jesus was doing, she knew no matter what it took, she was going to get her miracle from Jesus. And for this woman, getting Jesus would have been hard. Her healing would have been wrapped in opposition. You know, sometimes your healing is wrapped in opposition. As in those days, because of her constant bleeding, she would have been seen as unclean and would have had to live outside the city walls with the lepers and so on and so forth. People then would have been told to stay away from her and not to touch her because she was unclean. But notice this, when she touched Jesus, she became clean. You see, Jesus saying, pass the dirt, the sickness, the shame. Just ask the prodigal son. Prodigal son came home. The father looked at him, seeing he was absolutely perfect, although he wasn't. But he's seen him, and he's seen him as absolutely perfect. Do you know why? He was looking at the prodigal son through the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus made you whole, made you perfect, made you absolutely, absolutely perfect in the Father's eyes. That's why he sent the son. That's how you can come to the Father, knowing that he doesn't see any other way, only absolutely perfect. That the blood of his son has washed you absolutely clean, spotless, the Bible says. Spotless. It was all the more reason for the father to embrace the prodigal son because of what his son had done. And Jesus came to reveal the father, and that's what Jesus wants to do this morning. He wants to embrace people because Jesus doesn't do anything unless the father tells him to do it. But he wants to embrace people here this morning. The woman with the issue of blood, the hemorrhaging, had to fight for a healing. You know, there's some times where you have to fight for your healing. There's two people in the Bible that I'm going to talk about today. And they had to fight for the healing. The woman with the issue of blood, she had to fight for a healing. Can you imagine the opposition that she was up against? She would have been shunned. She would have been pushed to the fringes of society. But she wanted to get after this Jesus that she heard. This is the only man that can make me whole. This is the only person, if I just get one touch, if I just get a touch of his garment even, he'll make me whole. No matter what she done. You can imagine all the crowds after Jesus that day. But she said, no one going after me healing. She fought for a healing. She had to go where she was told not to go. She had to push past what people thought of her and said to her. You see, she had the attitude that I'm getting to my healing no matter what it takes. You see, she done her bit and Jesus done the rest. I believe her attitude activated her healing. Have you the attitude this morning that you want Jesus to heal you? Or is it just willy-nilly? Do you want Jesus to heal you? Everybody needs healing. I need healing. Everybody needs it. We need it all the time. Life batters us. Things happen in life. But then we can let Jesus in. And he brings us back again. But I truly believe, just like the woman with the issue of blood, her attitude activated her healing. Just think about that for a minute. Her attitude activated her healing. Imagine the situation she was in. The opposition she had. But her attitude activated her healing. The Bible says God looks at the heart, not at your appearance. And just like that woman with the issue of blood, I had an issue with blood. I had big issues in my life where drugs and crime and addiction and everything else, fear, rejection, anxiety, it dictated my life for 25 years, probably more. The woman with the issue of blood was bleeding for 12 years. She went to every doctor. I was addicted to heroin and crack, methadone, for over 20 years. In and out of prison, involved in crime. And I've done absolutely everything just like that woman with the issue of blood. I went all over the world. I was in clinics getting my blood flushed out. I was getting implants put in. I was on mad tablets to stop receptors in the brain to get you off drugs. All this sort of stuff I was doing. I was chasing after something that was never going to work. In the end, I ended up in Portugal, in a treatment centre, in a padded cell in a straitjacket, off my head, like a lunatic. It reminds me of the man in the cave, in the Bible. There's actually, my brothers had a video of, I was snapping at the air with my teeth, I was in a straitjacket in a padded cell. That's where my life had brought me. Not long after that, actually, That same place, my brother was in a hotel waiting for me. I was to stay there for 7 days. They were going to be putting implants in me. And after 3 days, they rang him in the hospital. They rang him in the hotel. And he says, come down and get him out here. And I was at the pain to go to the treatment center. And he says, we can do nothing with him. We've tried. We can do nothing with him. He's in there in the pad itself. We can do nothing with him. My head was gone. I was physically, mentally, spiritually broken. I was in bits. So I was brought home. Not long after that, things got worse. I went downhill. I ended up on the streets. I went from having loads of homes and loads of money to having nothing. I ended up on the streets. I was thinking of that woman with the issue of blood, where she felt rejected outside the city walls. That's the way I felt. I remember sitting on a step in town one day, looked up like that, and I felt the whole world was looking down on me. I was without hope. So I ended up in a house belonging to my brother. I had 2 syringes, one full of crack, one full of gear. And because of the constant use of drugs, I had no veins left in my body. I couldn't get them into my system. And I remember getting on my knees. And there was no big spiritual prayer or no big highfalutin prayer. It was like, God help me. So on my knees. And the scripture says in the Psalms, Psalms 3 verse 4, I cried to the Lord with all my heart, and he heard my distress call from his holy hill. When I done that, little did I know that it kicked off a chain of events over the next 2 weeks where Christians were just coming around me. And I was like, what's going on here? Walking down through town, 5 Christians came around me, and he came up and he says, can we pray for you? I didn't know. I was looking at them like that. I said, what's going on with this? So I said, yeah. See, God had already been at work in me. God had already been at work. He was preparing me. So they prayed for me. I remember the 5 of them laid hands on me over at the Hackney Bridge. So I walked off that day. Off I went. I was walking up Marlborough Street about a week later. And one of my mates that I was separated from in prison had got saved. I didn't know. He calls me. Come here. I says, what? Come here. He started telling me about this Jesus. Brings me onto the Tig Lane bus. I'm sitting at the back of it and I says, these are going to get me. My head was gone. These are going to brainwash me. But you know what? My brain was manky, dirty. It needed to be washed. So in the end, I slipped off the back of the bus and on my toes I went. But you see, when God is after you, he's after you. A week later, I ended up in my ma's house, lying on the couch. This arm was broken 4 places. That arm was broken 4 places. I had a broken chest bone, and my 2 legs were going to be amputated. I was in a heap. I was lying on the couch, and someone from this church came to my mother's house. I hadn't seen him for 3 years, 4 years. He'd got saved. Someone came into my ma's house and said, do you want help? He started telling me about the church. The church helps people. And I was like, in my head, where's all this coming from? But I realized only afterwards, looking back, that God was after me. It was like Jonah, he was chasing me down. There's a man that got chased down there, Stephen May. How are you, Stephen? He doesn't stop. His love is furious. He goes after you. So he says, I'm going to try and get you in somewhere. So I says, right, sound. He says, do you want to go? And I was in a place where I had nothing left. I was ready to die. I was about to die. I was about to lose my 2 legs. They told me, ma, they wanted to amputate my 2 legs. I left the hospital. And he said to me, do you want help? I says, I do. So he contacted someone in this church. He's sitting here today. And of his own admission, he'll tell you this himself. He said, it was Philip. And Will asked him, could he come in the centre? And Philip, of his own admission, said, I'm not letting him in here. He'll destroy the place. I'm not letting him in here. He's off the rails. Not letting him in here. But constant phone calls. I kept phoning him. Kept phoning Philip all the time. Will was on to him. Stephen Conway was on to him. In the end, And this is Philip's own words. The Holy Spirit spoke to Philip and he says, let him in. You see, God was at work. He let me in. So I got a phone call off Philip. Say, come in. Christmas Eve 2010. Do you remember the bad snow? I crawled into the car and my dad brought me up. I was to meet the lads from Iflin. My legs were in bits. I had holes in them that size from the top to the bottom. I had broken arms, broken chest bone. I was like that. It's like one of them lepers outside the city walls. And that's being honest. And I remember I grew up to the doors of Lifeline. And I said, Lord, God, I don't know who you are. I know you're there somewhere. I don't know who you are. But here's what's left of me. I'm yours. That day, when I walked through the doors, I was instantly saved and instantly delivered from a 25-year drug addiction. I was on a massive amount of drugs. No detox, no nothing. A miracle from God, just like I'm talking about here today. Bang, that was it. Amen. Amen. But my healing didn't stop there. You see, I had to follow Jesus. As Pastor Noah was talking about last week or the week before, we can be a fan or a follower. Jesus doesn't want fans. He wants followers. He wants us to walk with him. He wants to walk with him. There's a scripture in Luke where 10 came to Jesus for healing. And he sent them away. And as they walked, they were healed. Read it. As they walked, they were healed. And only one come back and get glory. And today I believe people are going to get healed. And people are going to get set free. And listen, you'll be the one that comes back and gives Jesus the glory. Make sure the one that gives Jesus the glory. That's how you hold on to your miracle. You keep close to him. Jesus, I thank you for a miracle. I thank you. I thank you. That same time, I was in a wheelchair in Lifeline. Back and forward to the hospital. And sitting in the wheelchair one day. Talk about God dealing with pride. Oh, stop. I was getting pushed around by the lads in Lifeline and my head was done in. I was getting away from me. Oh, stop. Head all out of the shop. So, I was sitting in the wheelchair one day and the Lord spoke to me. See, when God speaks, something happens. The Lord spoke to me and he says, Jay, I haven't saved you to be in the wheelchair. Get up. I got up. I get out of the wheelchair. That morning, Claire Conway comes in, Philip's sister. She says, Jay, why are you not in your wheelchair? I says, God spoke to me. He told me he hadn't saved me to be in a wheelchair. Philip turned around and says, I'm with you. Wheelchair, gone. Good luck. But from that day forward, I'm telling you, I'm standing here today. 3 times I was to get my legs amputated, right? And I'm standing here today preaching that Jesus heals. Amen. 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 There's another character in the Bible, his name is Bartimaeus. He had to fight for his healing. He had loads of opposition. Jesus was on his way to the Passover. It was thousands of people. Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was on his way. Bartimaeus was blind. He sat by the roadside, he had a cloak on him. He probably had that cloak on him. They reckon, theologians and historians reckon he could have been sitting there 40 years. Blind 40 years. We heard this miracle, wonder-working Jesus was on the way. And he placed himself in a place where he was going to meet Jesus. Or he placed himself, strategically placed himself. And he says, I'm going, just like the woman with the issue of blood, I'm going after my healing. You see, Bartimaeus also fought for his healing. Because when Jesus came, Bartimaeus starts shouting, Son of David, have mercy on me. The Pharisees and the scribes around said, shut up. And he kept saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. Actually, the Bible says he shouted all the more. He shouted all the more. And what happened? Jesus heard him. "Come here. What do you want?" he said to him. "I want to see you again." "Get up. Your faith has made you well. You're healed." And you know what it says after that? It says Bartimaeus then followed him. He didn't go off. It says Bartimaeus then followed him. So when you get your healing, keep following Jesus. Sometimes it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy following Jesus, because, you know, it's wrapped in opposition sometimes. But keep following him. It's the best thing you'll ever do in your life. Questions like, is healing for today? Yes, the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, healing is for today. It's for right now. It's for this morning. It's for right now. It's for today. Did you hear that, church? It's for right now. You're in a place like Bartimaeus was. You're in a place now where your healing is here. Jesus is here. You've placed yourself, whether you know it or not, you place yourself in a place where you can get healing today. Amen. Jesus wants to heal you physically, mentally, and spiritually. He wants to heal the inner wounds, the inner emotional wounds. For example, rejection. Rejection is a big one. Insecurity. Insecurity robs people. Robs people of their destiny in God. Because insecure people want to box themselves off from everybody else. They want to stay away from the body of Christ. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants to separate you from the body of Christ. So there's no life. Separate you. Anxiety. Horrible. Fear. Fear is not of God. The Bible actually says the perfect love of God casts out all fear. All fear. Torment of the mind. God wants to heal. My mind was tormented. Tormented. That's why I ended up in a padded cell in a straitjacket. Like a lunatic. Until I met Jesus. Amen. Until I met Jesus. I'm not perfect. I'm not standing up here saying I'm perfect. I'm far from it. I'm far from it. Is that right, Del? Amen. Amen. But I know one thing. Through the trials and tribulations, no matter what happens, I'm still going after Jesus. I want more of Jesus in my life. I want more of Jesus in my life. Amen. Guys, another one. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is like, it's like a cancer. It's worse than a cancer. I held unforgiveness in my heart since I was a child. And I believe that was all part of the reasons as to why I led the path I led. I had some people in my life that from a child, I held unforgiveness against them. And you know what? It destroyed me. It made me a horrible person, an angry person, a bitter person. So much so that every time I seen these people, I had the whole dug and buried where I was going to bury them. That's how much unforgiveness gets into you. It's like a bad, bad cancer. Resentment gets inside you. Bitterness gets inside you. Guys, don't let unforgiveness rob you. And people think unforgiveness is a feeling. Like you can... People think that forgiveness is a feeling. I don't feel like forgiving them. It's not a feeling. It's an act of your will. And when you forgive someone, you say, "Lord, I need grace in this area. Can you please help me to forgive this person?" You do your bit, like a woman with the issue of blood. You do your bit and God will do the rest. He gives you a grace to forgive. And the big one is forgiving yourself. If you've done something wrong in life, or you're still doing something wrong in life, and we all do, but forgive yourself for what happened in the past, what you've done to your son or your daughter or your mother or your father, or that person that you loved or that person that you used to be with. Forgive yourself. Release yourself. Release yourself. That's a big one. Knowing that you're forgiven. It's all part of the cross. What I'm talking about is so much in the finished work of the cross. Forgiveness is life. It's a cancer. It keeps you bound, unforgiveness. It keeps you bound. I believe that as you let the Father heal you, it brings out the real you. Healing brings the real you to the fore. It brings out who you really are, therefore bring you into a place of freedom. The Bible says the old is gone, the new is here. You're in a new creation. That old Stephen is gone. That old Sharon is gone. That old Philip is gone. That old Adele is gone. The new creation. You're born again by the Spirit of God. It's no longer, Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And if Christ lives in you, you're born again in a new creation. I'm not saying you're perfect, because he's only perfect. But what I'm saying is live out of that place of the new creation is good. We've been doing it here in the men's meeting. The new creation is good. When we live out of that place, we're living out of a place of good. We're not trying to be good. We are good. We get it wrong, but we're good. God is good. He lives in us. We're connected to the tree of life. And when we walk out of that place, it's a grace walk. But when we're trying to be good, it burns you out. It's in the flesh. It just wears you out, trying to be good. I was talking to a mate of mine. He was here for 3 years. He's still here. He says, Jay, I tried to be good and short for 3 years. He says, it absolutely killed me. Killed me. The flesh, trying to do good in the flesh kills you. But knowing that the good comes from within, that you are good, it releases you to walk and say, yeah, I am going to do it. I am going to do it because I'm a good person. Not doing it to try to be good. I am good and I'm doing it. Amen. Amen. So I believe, I truly believe, as you let the Father in, it brings a real you to the fore. The real me is only coming out now. And he's still coming out. What is it now? I don't even say, want to say what I was. But anyway, I know that I'm not that now. And that's not a prideful thing or an egotistic thing. We have to realize that we're new creations. That God has set us free. That he sent his son to the cross so that we could be new creations. We are good people. You are a good person. You are a good mother. You are a good father. You are a good wife. You are a good husband. Do you understand that? You're a good daughter. You're a good son. It's living out of that place that God has made us good. We don't go strong. We're not doing it in the flesh. We are good. Do it out of that place of grace that we are good. New creation. Amen. Amen. Can I be healed? Yes, you can be healed. You can be healed right here, right now, today. And I believe there's going to be healed. Because we're all of one accord. Is that right? Amen? Amen. We're all of one accord. So when we're of one accord, stuff happens. Stuff happens. Praise God. It's going to be a great meeting. Does God want to heal me? Yes, he wants to heal you. Not because you're a good person and you have it all together. Do you know why he wants to heal you? Because he loves you. Simple as that. Grab hold of that. Grasp that. He doesn't want to heal you because you're doing everything right. You're going around doing good all the time. That's great. But he wants to heal you because he loves you. Simple as that. It's by grace. By grace. For everybody. It's free. Free. And it's free here this morning. He wants to heal you because he loves you. Why am I not being healed? I can't really answer that question. But maybe you need to let your barriers and walls down and trust them. Will you trust God this morning? Don't trust me. Because I could let you down. I don't want to let you down, but I could let you down. Trust God. Trust God. Will you trust God this morning? He's a good, good father. He wants you to have a life and a life to the full. And he's a father that will never, ever reject you. You see, the prodigal son knew he could come home because he knew the character of the father. Because of what Jesus done, the father's just waiting there like that. Look, come on. Come home. Here I am. I've loads of love for you. I've buckets of it. I've buckets of it, the father would say. He'll never reject you. That's why I'm talking about that, is because when you come to him for healing, he wants to heal you because he loves you. You don't have to have it all together to come to God for healing. He wants to heal you because he loves you.
When will I get healed? Or when I get healed, is there a part I have to play?
There is a part you have to play when you get your miracle. One is follow Jesus, just like Bartimaeus done. And two is, I got a new pair of legs. I don't play football. Do you know why? I want to keep my legs. And I don't mean that in a sarcastic way. I've brand new skin in my legs. It's so tender that the least thing cuts it. But I know not to play football because God has given me a second chance. He's given me a new set of legs. He's healed me. So why would I go out and undo what God has done? And it's just the same in all aspects of life. Bad relationships. Could be a partner. Could be an ex. Could be a family member. It could be a toxic relationship that God has set you free from. Don't go back there. Steward your healing. Steward your healing. I don't take drugs. Why? Because God gave me a miracle. I'm holding on to that miracle. That was one of the things I said when I went to prison as a Christian. Lord, I want to keep me miracle. How did I keep that? Even though I was in a cell, loads of drugs in the cell, I stayed close to Him. I sat there reading my Bible while my mate was sitting there chopping drugs. I had no choice, but I stayed close to Him. God kept me. Why? Because I stayed close to Him. I kept me miracle. Kept me a miracle. When God gives you a miracle, as it says, it's up to us to do certain things and not do certain things. The scripture says this in Isaiah 40:21. This is what the Lord says, whether you turn to the right or turn to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way to walk, walk in it. God just doesn't set you free, heal you, deliver you, and leave you on your own. He's with you all the time. He gives you the Holy Spirit, who's your guidance, who's your comforter, and He whispers in your ear, this is the way to walk. This is the way to walk. This is the way to walk. I remember I was walking down the landing, Mountjoy Prison. And I was a Christian at the time. I just finished Lifeline and I got locked up. And God had set me free from drugs. But I heard this voice. I knew it wasn't God's voice. I was only a young Christian. I still am, quite relatively. But I knew it wasn't God's voice. I heard a voice telling me to go into a cell. Turned around, I looked in the cell and it was full of drugs, everybody using them. But then I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. Don't go there. Down the landing I went, singing in tongues. Because when God speaks a word, it energizes you, it lifts you up. It gives you something to live for. God's word is alive and active. Alive and active. And this morning, church, let me finish off by telling you one more miracle. God's miracles are amazing. Because of my lifestyle and all the drugs I took and the medication I was on, what I'd done to my body and all the drink, they said my liver would have been bunched. I went into hospital for an ultrasound. It was in the Mater Hospital. Went with Adele. We're on our way and I was a bit fearful. Obviously, we know where fear comes from. But Adele turned around and she said to me, Jay, I have a word from the Lord. I said, what? I needed it. She said, the Lord told me you're healed. I believed there was something in the back of my mind without getting in. How could He hear me? I knew this God. I knew this God of miracles. He's done miracles in my life already. But for some reason, this was too much for Him. His liver was bunched. This was too much for Him. The devil was standing on it. She said, no, you're healed. So he goes into the Mater Hospital. Gets up, the nurse calls me in, gets up onto the thing, they bring the machine over to do the ultrasound. And the nurse says, hold on, I have to go and get someone else. So in comes another fella, one of these highfalutin fellas, I don't know what you call them, professor. And in comes professor, right? And the nurse says to him, either there's something wrong with me or there's something wrong with the machine. And he says, why? He says, there's this fella's chart.
looked at the chart, looked at my history, and he says, "All right, there's something wrong here. There has to be something wrong here." So they let me out, brought me back in, and the professor says, "I don't know how this has happened," he says, "but you have the liver of a fella that looked after himself for 40 years. And I was like, "What?" And Adele was going, I told you what the Lord said. I told you we're healed. So he walks out then, I'm walking up by Mountjoy Prison. This is no joke. Walking up by Mountjoy Prison. And I'm like, I'm caught up in the awesomeness of God, but in the back of my mind, that doubt. The accuser was there and he was trying to rob me of my miracle. We're halfway up North Circle Road, my phone rings, and look, it's the Mater Hospital. I says, "Adele, look, I told you, something wrong." She says, "You'll have to come back to the hospital." I says, "Why?" She says, "There's something wrong." Comes back to the hospital. A third fella comes in, puts me back on the machine. "Oi, this is no messing." Third fella comes in, all dicky bow and all this on him, whatever. He says, "Get up on the machine there." Because he didn't believe what these two were telling him, or what the machine was telling him. So he gets up and he says, "It's true." He says, "Your liver is absolutely perfect." And guys, if that's not a story that gives glory to God, there's something wrong. Right? God. God is in the business of doing miracles. And let me tell you this. The only one that can fix you is the one who made you. Right? The only one who can fix you is the one who made you. You can go to all the doctors you want. I'm not telling you to give up your medication or not go to the doctor. That's not what I'm telling you. But there's certain things in life that only God can heal. Amen? Amen? So we have to have the attitude that God is a healer. That God does heal. And he heals today. And he heals here right now. And he wants to heal me right now. Because your attitude is going to activate your healing. I really believe that. Your attitude is going to activate your healing. So what we're going to do this morning is, thanks, Jeff. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to break bread, new communion. I'm going to ask some of the leaders to give it out. Sharon and Adele will sort it out. And guys, what we're going to do is we're going to remember why Jesus went to the cross. If Eric can play some music there, please. Jesus went to the cross for many things. For salvation, to bring us back to the Father, and for healing of our body, for forgiveness. I could go on. There's many things. But today, we're going to remember what Jesus went to the cross for. There's no point to me preaching on healing and telling you stories of healing, and us not remembering the one who brought the healing. Amen? So guys, stay of one accord. Don't get distracted. Because I believe God wants to do something here this morning. It could be physically. It could be mentally. It could be spiritually. But God wants to do something in your life here this morning. Your attitude before God will activate your healing. Your attitude before God will activate your healing. We're going to remember. And the elements are being given out. We're going to come into a place, guys, before God, and we're going to remember what he went to the cross for. What the finished work of the cross accomplished. Guys, it's absolutely amazing. When you're sitting there, just remember what Jesus done. That he went to the cross. That he died, that your sin way, a debt you could never pay, Jesus paid it. The guilt and shame and everything else that the old creation brought to the cross was placed on Jesus so that you could be set free from all that. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus.
So if everybody has their elements. Because I want you to remember that it might have been over 2,000 years ago that Jesus went to the cross. But it was for you right here, right now. Right here, right now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to bring that into perspective. It's for right now. It's for right now. So as we take this bread, guys, before God, not before me, before God, get yourself into that place of humbleness before God and say, Jesus, this is all for you. We thank you, Lord God. We remember what you've done. And we take this bread as a symbolic act of your broken body for us, Father God. Jesus, we thank you that your body was broken so that we could be fixed. And guys, if you need healing, something happens in this time of communion where supernaturally, something God can do something supernaturally right here and right now. So your attitude will activate your healing. So Lord, I thank you. And I'm taking this bread as a symbolic act of your broken body so that I can be fixed. Jesus is also known as the bread of life. And Lord, we take this juice and we remember your blood that was spilt for a debt we couldn't pay. Your blood was spilt so that we could be forgiven. And in this space, if you need to ask God for forgiveness or something, there's no better time than when we're remembering what the blood of Jesus has done. So you can send a silent prayer up. Father, forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. I need you, Father. The Bible says the blood of Jesus has made us whiter than snow. Can anybody tell me what's whiter than snow? That's how Father God sees you. You're whiter than snow. You're absolutely perfect. The blood of Jesus makes you absolutely perfect. Thank you, Lord God, that you spilt your blood, that your body was broken, so that we could be fixed, made whole, and forgiven, Lord God. You're absolutely amazing, Father God. Jesus, we absolutely adore you. We remember what you've done, and we will not forget it. We will not forget what you've done. This church will not let the world forget what you have done. And with every head bowed, I just want to give some people a chance that if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you want to become the new creation that I'm talking about, there's only one way of doing that. And that's by faith, asking Jesus into your heart. So if you're here for the first time or the 50th time and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, and with every head bowed for privacy, if you would like to know this Jesus, this amazing healing Jesus, this forgiving Jesus, just slip your hand up. Just slip your hand up if you don't know this Jesus. Just slip your hand up. I see your hand. Just slip your hand up If you don't know this Jesus, he's a loving God. He's an amazing God. He's a miracle working God. Amen. Repeat this after me. Jesus, I thank you that your body was broke and your blood was spilt so that I could be saved. I thank you for going to the cross, dying for me, being resurrected so that I could be resurrected with you. Jesus, this day, I give you my life. Will you give me yours? And Jesus will say, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. 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 That's amazing. Amen. So we're going to finish off with what the Bible talks about. We've oil here. We've celebrated what Jesus has done. We've talked about healing. Now it's time to release it. And church, I believe that there's some people here today. Guys, don't let pride or don't be robbed. If you want healing today, be like Bartimaeus and the woman with the issue of blood. Get yourself up here. Push someone out of the way if you have to get up here. Fight for your healing. Bartimaeus fought for his healing. The woman with the issue of blood fought for her healing. I know what it's like to fight for healing. And let me tell you, there's results at the end of it. So the church, the elders of the church and the prayer team, if they want to come up, we're going to lay hands on those who want prayer. We're going to anoint you with oil. We're going to release healing and we're going to expect miracles here this morning. Amen. Amen. So come forth, church. Come forth, church. Come on. Come on. Your attitude activates your healing. Amen. 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 Thank you, Father.